Well, we are talking about relationships. And, you know, relationships really do determine much of our success in life. How well we can relate to others. If you think about, as far as from a business standpoint, in an economic standpoint, relationships have a big part to do. How well we can get along and work with others depends heavily upon our success there. If you think about our happiness, much of our happiness in life is tied up in our relationships. You know, when we have a soiled relationship with someone, it takes all the happiness and joy out of our life. And so relationships are a big part of that. And then also, you know, our relationships, or the way we handle our relationships, is a big part of our salvation with Christ. Like, for example, forgiveness. Our willingness to forgive is a part of our relationship with Christ. And that has to do with our relationship with others. And certainly our sanctification has much to do about our relationship with other people. So we're talking about relationships in preparing us for Easter, or preparing us to celebrate the resurrected Lord and our relationship with Him. That's the relationship that counts the most. Amen? And so that's where we're going with this. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about our relationship in marriage. And I just want to say this to the singles. If you're single here this morning, this message is for you too. We're going to be talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ here, and that's for everybody. And so there are parts of this that you can glean from that. But also, too, you might be married someday. And then the Lord would call you into that. And so hopefully you can glean some information this morning that will help you in that way. Or will help you help someone else in their relationship. Well, what we're going to talk about is God's way of marriage. And there are three different ways we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the value of marriage. You know, there are lots of attempts today to tear down marriage and to say that it is an antiquated system for a modern society. And so we're going to give you the reasons why God says marriage is so important. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about the keys to your spouse's heart. What is the key to your spouse's heart? And then we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. And then the third thing we're going to look at is the key to holiness of heart is in marriage. And one of the keys that we see about the holiness of heart is found in marriage. Now, I've got some good news for you. We're not going to cover all of that this morning. This is a two-part sermon. So you have to come back tonight to get the finale. Okay? So we'll see how far we go this morning, and then we'll do both things. So let's start with the value of marriage. Okay? Genesis chapter 2 is where it starts. Marriage is God's plan. It's His idea. It's plan A, and there is no plan B. Marriage is God's plan. And no one has a right to define it or redefine it in any way. Only God has that right, because it's His plan. Our society is trying to push marriage into the shadows, into the outward parts of society, and to make it an old-fashioned idea. But I want to tell you this morning, it is not an old-fashioned idea. It is a contemporary, up-to-date idea. And it is the way that God wanted it to be. Now, here we see in Genesis chapter 2 that God put man in the garden, and He gave him dominion, meaning that He put him in charge. Put him in charge of all of the animals. He says, I want you to exercise dominion over here. And you'll remember that the first thing that God did was then He gave man a job. And He says, I want you to name all of these animals. And so He started in doing that job. But then it comes down to verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. You know how I interpret that verse? we are better together. We are better together, is what I interpret that. That God saw that man needed a helper to make him better. If man could have done it by himself, he wouldn't have made a helper. He wouldn't have made a companion. If he could have picked himself up by the bootstraps, he would have been all right. But you see, we are better together. Now, last week, we talked about how to get along with difficult people. And I asked the question, does anybody know a difficult person? If you raise your hand. And hands went up all over the sanctuary. Yeah, we know. But here's what I also saw. You don't see this from sitting where, but from up here, I saw it. I saw some elbows going like this. So that's why we're talking about marriage today. Because we are better together, but because of our sinful nature, because of our humanity, we often come in conflict with each other. And God has a lot to say about that. We're better together. So God created the woman, and then down in verse 22 it says, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they became one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." This is the first marriage. God here is the loving father, that he presents his daughter to her husband. That's why we have a marriage where there is a presentation of the bride. The husband standing there nervously, waiting, anticipating. He hasn't been able to see the bride all day. And then finally the music starts, dun, dun, and the doors in the back of the sanctuary fly open. And there stands his beautiful bride. It's that same sense that we get here in the garden of God, the Holy Father, presenting this beautiful creation that he's just created to Adam. It's the same thing. So this is why we traditionally come to the church also, because there is a sense here that the two are not just coming together, but they are actually meeting with God. That something holy is happening here. That this presentation is not just simply a formality or a thing to go through. It's not just checking off the steps. That something holy is happening here and miraculous and mysterious is going on. And so it also says that the two were naked and they felt no shame. Now they were naked in the sense that they had no clothes on. But here's the thing that is even greater about that, is that they were naked emotionally. There was nothing held back from each other. They were completely open. They were completely honest. There was no inner secrets that were hidden within the heart. Everything was open. And they were open to each other. They were naked and they were not ashamed. There was no shame in the relationship. There was no sin there to cause that. They were completely open to each other. Now, if you study this passage, you will find that it never says that Adam and Eve were ever happy. It never says that their lives were fulfilled or that they had met their dream boat. It doesn't say any of those romanticized things that oftentimes our culture brings into marriage. Now, our marriages have joy in them, don't get me wrong, but that's not the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage is God. Marriage is the point that of the people to Him, and it points the people to God and to His gospel. That's the purpose of marriage. And that's what we're going to be looking at here. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that before God created man, He said, "Let us make God in our image." Very interesting passage. Some things there. Why would God say, let us, plural, make man in our image? What he's giving us a picture of there, right from the beginning of Genesis, is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago, that the Trinity, God in three, are so tight, so close, so intertwined in their lives. They're so one that you can't tell where one stops and one doesn't. They get along so well. They are three, but they are one. And right from the beginning of Genesis, we see that. So here in Genesis chapter 2 and the account of this holy marriage, you see this same oneness. You see this one saying where it says that the man and the woman became one flesh, that they became one, they became united. You see, marriage is a reflection of the Trinity, of two people coming together, and their lives are so intertwined, so in harmony, so much together that it reflects the glory of God in that relationship. That's what marriage is about. This is not just this coming together. It's not just in the sexual sense, but it's also in a relationship with their Creator, reflecting who He is and His unity and their oneness, surrendering to each other, loving each other in a self-sacrificing love, just like God. Like we talked about last week, that agape love, coming together in that kind of love. The marriage relationship between the husband and the wife is the most important one in the home. I want to underline that. Underscore that. The relationship between the husband and the wife is the most important one in the home. It is more important than the relationship we have with our children. It's the most important relationship. That relationship between the husband and the wife has to be so strong and so united that it's the most important. It rises to the top. It's more important than our relationship with our kids even, or with our parents. It's the most important relationship we have. You see, if we want to have a strong relationship, or we want to have strong kids, our kids need to see the relationship being strong with mom and dad. That's the most important relationship that we can have. The best thing a husband and wife can do for their children is to have a strong relationship together. Now, let me give you a couple of reasons why. Number one is when we have a strong relationship together, we are teaching our children what marriage looks like. You see, if we don't teach them, they're going to make it up on their own. See, most of what our children learn in the home is not what we sit down and teach them, it's what they observe. You see, when our children observe that they can come between mom and dad and get what they want, what they're learning is to be self-centered and demanding on their own. They're not learning what self-sacrificing love looks like. It has to be that the husband and wife's relationship is the strongest. And that paternal pull that we have with our children, ever since we see them born, ever since we first take them in our arms, we want to take care of them. But the best way we can take care of them is make sure that mom and dad's relationship is strong. And we're modeling what Christ-likeness looks like. That's the most important thing we can do for our kids. You see, this passage gives us a sense that marriage is something greater than ourselves, that it's a part of God's plan for this world. And it's not just about us and our spouse, but marriage is a part of what God is doing overall in this world. It's not just about us, me and mine, and what I can get from it. It's about what God can do through us. It's much more than that. That it's not to be taken lightly. It is part of surrender to God, is this marriage. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, we also see something else about the value of marriage. We see its connection with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, marriage points us to God, but it also points us to Jesus Christ and the gospel. You know what I'm saying? Okay, in Ephesians chapter 5, you've got that in your outline there, starting at chapter 5, verses 31 through 33. So let's look at this. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his flesh, and the two will become one flesh." Now, didn't we just read that in Genesis chapter 2? We did. So it's not an Old Testament concept. Friends, it's a biblical concept. But also, it is repeated by Jesus. You remember in the beginning of our service time here, we read the scriptures, and Jesus is repeating that same line right there. Jesus believed in marriage. One woman, one man, united in one flesh in front of a holy God. That was marriage in Jesus' eyes. That's the way he taught it. That's the way it was supposed to be. In verse 31 here, it's quoting this passage in Genesis 2, and then Jesus also said it. But it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife." This leaving that it's talking about here is not just talking about leaving and going to a different house. It's talking about more than that. You see, when it says we are to leave, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife," it's meaning we are to leave behind the old and come into a new relationship. You see, this is a problem in marriage, is when we never leave the home. We never leave the home we came from. Now, we might physically leave the home. We might physically move out and start a new home. But when we take all of that with us into our new home, we have not left. Now, just imagine what a marriage relationship would be like if one of the spouses couldn't make a decision unless they talked to their mom and dad first. You see, if they did that, what kind of a relationship would they have? This relationship must be the most important relationship, the husband and wife relationship. We are to leave and start a new relationship. You didn't realize how difficult this is in many cultures that teach that, you know, you're born into this family, and when you get married, you still live in this family, and then your grandkids, this grandkid are supposed to still live in this family, and it's just expected that this is going to continue. That's why in many Asian countries, when you start teaching this, they look at you like you're nuts. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be pulling the strings all along until these kids... But that's not the biblical concept. This relationship that we have with our parents has to be great and strong. And that doesn't mean that once we get married, they don't support us and help us and give us advice. But it means we leave and we start a new relationship. That's the most important relationship we'll ever have in our lives. That right there. And that relationship has to be strong. This is not the way marriage should be. This is the way God said marriage should be. The old has been left behind and the new home has been established. In the same way, when we come, we leave the old life behind because a new life has come. You see, this is pointing to Christ. It's pointing to Him and to the gospel. We begin this new unity with Christ. And look in verse 32 there. And it says, "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." You see, marriage all along has been pointing towards Jesus. It's been pointing towards Him. In the last book of the Bible, it says that Jesus is the groom and that the church is the bride. And one day the groom is going to come back for the bride, and there's going to be a great wedding feast. And just like Jesus loves us and gave Himself up for us, we are to love our spouse in that same way. We're to love them just like Christ loved the church. And sometimes we are not as faithful to the Lord as we should be. But does He stop loving us? No, He doesn't stop loving us. He's standing there with His arms wide open, ready to receive us. And this love we are to have with our spouse, sometimes our spouse will let us down. Sometimes they won't do what we think they ought to do. But we are to be there loving them just as Christ loves His church, with His arms wide open and ready to receive them. Now, I know that's a pretty broad brush and there's some things in here. But I just want to say this, friends, is that sometimes we think that if certain things happen, that's it. You're done. We're not having a relationship anymore. But that's not always the biblical picture. We're to be forgiving and kind and patient and gentle and forbearing with one another. That's the biblical picture of marriage. Just like Christ has for His church. The purpose of marriage is not to make us happy or to fulfill us or to make us feel like that we've accomplished something or fulfilled our life. The purpose is to make us holy and to reveal Christ into this world. It's to make us holy. It's holy matrimony. We oftentimes leave the holy off of the title. But that's the title that God gives marriage, is holy matrimony. Because that's the purpose of it, becoming more Christ-like as we surrender ourselves to each other and in a loving relationship, and we're becoming more Christ-like all the time. More gentle, more kind, more like Him. The purpose of marriage is to make us holy and to reveal Christ. Marriage is bigger than the individual. It's bigger than the couple. Marriage is pointing us towards Christ. Christ, in Him, marriage is for Christ. Marriage is for Him. And the next time you're tempted to let your spouse have it, think about it, that marriage is not for us. Marriage is for Him. It's for a bigger purpose. It's for a bigger meaning. It's for something greater than ourselves. And so we can love each other because Christ has loved us and poured Himself out upon us and forgiven us. That is how we can love one another. It's not for us. It's for Him. That's what marriage is about. Well, tonight, I'm going to give you part of tonight. Okay? So here is the key to marriage in the Bible. Mutual submission. Mutual submission. The question oftentimes is, who's going to submit first? She says, I would love him like, I would submit to him like Christ if he had stopped acting like the devil. So I'm not going to start that. And he says, I would lay down my life for her, but I'd be washing dishes for the rest of my life. So I'm not going to start that. And so what it comes to oftentimes is a battle of the will. Who's going to be the winner? But the picture is mutual submission. Marriage is mutual submission. But it has to start with someone. It has to start somewhere. It starts with us trusting God to do His work, and then praying and believing and living that way. Amen? Yeah. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Ephesians chapter 5 a little more. But we're going to end there. So I hope I've whetted your appetite. But I hope also, too, you've come to realize that marriage is not what our culture is trying to tell us it is. It's not just a legal piece of paper. Marriage is something very holy and divine that God does. When we come to Christ and we kneel at an altar and we pray and we say to Christ, I recognize that I am a sinner. And I recognize, Jesus, that You paid the price for my sin on the cross. And I recognize that You died on the cross and You was resurrected on the third day. And I recognize that You sit at the right hand of the Father as Lord. And when we receive Him into our heart, something supernatural happens. The Bible says that we are a new creation, that the old has gone and the new has come. That something miraculous happens. We believe that. But something also miraculous happens when the doors fly open and the presentation is made. And the wife and her father, the bride and her father walk down that center aisle and they come up and they stand before a minister of the gospel. They're standing before a holy God. And something supernatural is about to happen. We're going to exchange some vows. Will you? Yes, I will. Will you? Yes, I will. We're going to do that. And then God is going to make two people one flesh. He's going to do something supernatural there, miraculous. It's going to happen right in front of your eyes. We don't cry at weddings because of love. We cry at weddings because the holy presence of God is there. And because He's doing something in front of our very eyes. And we're having an encounter with Him. That's why divorce is never easy. The Bible says what God has put together, let no one tear apart. And you know what? Divorce is not a separation. Divorce is a tearing apart. And the hearts of people are torn in two. Marriage is important. Something miraculous. I want to pray with you. Our Father, we come to You today and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the truths of Your Word. They were true in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they are true with us today. It's not an ancient idea. Marriage is current and up to date, and it still works. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us, number one, to understand the holiness and the righteousness of marriage, and that no one has a right to redefine it into something that it's not. But this is your command. And Lord, I pray also, Father, that you would help us all who are married to understand the commitment, the covenant that we made with you that day. That we made a covenant between us and another person, but you were there and you did something supernatural and you made the two become one. And Lord, we want to pray this morning for those who have suffered the loss of divorce. Lord, there's so much pain, so much loss, so many dreams that are shattered, so many people that are affected. But Lord, we live in a sinful world, and people do sinful things. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, today for the healing of our souls. Would you heal, Lord, the hearts of those who have suffered this loss? Lord, nothing is too big for you. You can do it. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that you do it just now to heal and mend the broken heart. Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning. We have prayed prayers of belief and faith. We have sung songs of victory and triumph. We've declared the word of God. We believe in Christ as our Savior, and we eagerly await His return. So, Father, we pray, God, as we leave this place today, we pray, Father, that the still voice that we heard while we sat here, Lord, it does not become extinguished when we walk out the doors. That the truths of your word, Lord, we cannot shake, we cannot forget, that we cannot move away from. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would keep dealing with us in this issue. And help us, Lord, to mutually surrender to one another. And Lord, when we have failed, let us be quick to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Let us be transparent, Lord, with our spouse as it was in the beginning. For the redeemed people of God, let us come before one another and not hold anything back. Let us be unashamed. Lord, we love you and we trust you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Go in the peace of the Lord today.